Right, if you have your outlines with you, I want you to actually turn to Ephesians chapter 4 first and foremost as we get started in looking at our message this morning and really entitle it A Vision to Grow, because that is literally the focus, the vision that we have for this next year in 2020, is to have a vision to grow as a church. Individually, and first and foremost, what I'm thinking about is not just a vision to grow far as numbers and getting more people in here. Obviously, we'd like to reach as many people as we can, but the whole idea is for us individually to grow in our relationship with God. And as I've been reviewing and setting this thing out, this has been a vision that the Lord's given me again early, actually, this past year. And what we're going to be doing here and what we're going to be looking at. But as we were doing a family Bible study, actually, with Andrew being down for Christmas, this really came to mind for me as far as a reference in what we're kind of going through as a family. And I thought, man, it would be great to really kind of introduce what we're talking about for this next year with this passage. And of course, this is actually the main passage that we have as far as really the direction and a vision for our church. Matter of fact, if you Ephesians chapter 4 is where we're going to be in verses 11 through 16, but if you just look at the front of your bulletin, all right, that's what we have really coming from. It has equipping every member in the Word of God in order to minister to others. I mean, that's where our ultimate vision and what we want to be as a church, that's where it comes from, is Ephesians chapter 4. I mean, is looking at, this is really what a local New Testament church, local body of Christ should be in dealing with the purpose and the function of a church, is to be able to see its members, to be able to grow, to be able to minister the Word of God to others. It's not a matter of just coming and sitting at church, listening to some message, and go home and your life is no different. The whole idea of a local church is to be able to edify the believers, to be able to build the believers up. And too often churches get just stuck in a sense as far as we need to get people saved, we need to get people saved. Oh yeah, that's true. We need to reach people for Christ, but that's the people on the outside of this building. People that are in the building should be believers in Christ. You know, obviously I don't mind if a lost person comes in here, hopefully gets saved and so forth, but the idea of the church is for believers, and believers need to grow. So if you're in a church to where all they're doing is preaching salvation and everybody there is saved, what are you doing? All right, there's more. That's just the beginning. That's just the start. You need to grow from that point of salvation. And that's what Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16 is all about. Let's give it a quick read, and then we'll continue on here what we need to see today. Ephesians chapter 4, and verse 11, it says this, "And it gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." Why? "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." Now the word grow was only mentioned there once in verse 15, but really through everything that we're talking about, really has that idea of growing, increasing, the fullness of Christ. So we all come into the unity of the faith. All of it is dealing with being edified, that it really, all of us working together. Our church is only going to be able to accomplish the things that God wants us to accomplish in 2020 if really all of us are going to buy in to this vision, to buy in to what the Word of God says. Remember, this is not something that is Charles Boyce. This is something, as I hopefully will be able to show you, that this is what the Word of God says. We all need to be growing. Really, being stagnant is not an option. The status quo is really not an option. It shouldn't be. You should not be content with where you're at spiritually. Now, we're talking about being content as far as what we have. The Bible is very clear in talking about being content in wherever you're at as far as that's concerned. But spiritually speaking, we should never be to a place where we're content. Because being content spiritually means that you're going to be complacent. And that means that you're really going to be stagnant, which really means that you're just going to be going backwards. You're not growing. You're not advancing. We should never be satisfied spiritually where we're at. We should always want to be growing. Now, is any of us completely conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is any of us here at that point? We know it all. We got it all down. Don't have any problems, don't have... Not a one of us are in that position yet. No, not a one of us. That means as long as we're living, and as long as we're here, breathing God's air and eating His food and drinking His water, we should have a desire to grow in our walking relationship with You. Not just being satisfied with salvation, that is it. Not being satisfied, well, I come to church and that's it. No, how can we grow? And that's what I believe the Lord wants to challenge us in 2020 with, is being able to grow in our faith, having a vision to grow. It's important. And with that, I want you to go to what will be our vision verse for 2020. I want you to go back to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18. Not only we're talking about having a vision for the church. I mean, that's what I dedicate a lot of time in a word and in prayer to be able to understand what I believe that God would give us a vision and direction year after year after year. All right, we started our church as far as every Sunday services back in 2016. All right, as a group, we started meeting at the Bible study back in 2013. All right, and it was June 22nd, 2013, is when we had our first Bible study on a Saturday morning at the library in the evening time. That's when we initially got started. But as a church in 2016, and I've been trying to, again, always in prayer, labor, hey, Lord, what is the direction? What is the vision that You have for our church in this coming year? And that's what I do. If there's a year that says, well, I don't know, I don't have a vision, I didn't spend time taking care of that, it'd probably be time for you to look for somebody else to be pastor of Faith Bible Church. But that's something that I dedicate because I know that the Lord knows what we're going to do, He knows what's going to happen and so forth. I need vision and direction as a church. This year, I'm challenging you to also have your own personal vision. What does God want you to do and how you can grow in 2020? In Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18, it says this, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." Interesting verse. Where there is no vision, what's going to happen? The people perish. If there's not leadership, if there's not having a vision or direction of where you understand and see where God wants you to go, if that's not there, then the result is going to be you're going to perish. And unfortunately, there's too many Christians that's exactly really where they're at spiritually, is they're spiritually dead. They're perishing because they don't have a vision. They don't have a vision from God, from His Word, to give them that direction, and they're not following it. And thus, they perish. Alright? And I want to read that verse again. And again, this is one that hopefully you can be able to commit to memory. It's not that long of a verse. It says, again, in verse 18, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." But, contrast. Alright? So it's the same context. Alright? Again, "But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." You want to be happy in your life? Keep the Word of God. That is telling you that, okay, that the vision is going to come from the Word of God. To be happy in your life, to be to have joy in your life, to be successful in God's eyes in your life, it's about having a vision from His Word. We're not talking about, you know, having to, you know, get in some different plane of thought and have some physical vision that takes place. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about even times where we see in the Old Testament, you know, even in the New Testament, and even in our scripture reading and the passage that we're going to look at today, where, you know, God gives you some vivid vision or dream or something like that. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about something that is, well, that's just for in the Old Testament, or that's just had to be an Apostle Paul or something like that to get a vision. No, what we're talking about is that God wants you to have a vision that comes from His Word. His Word gives you direction of where He would like you to go. And I'm going to challenge you to get a vision from God for 2020. A vision to grow. I want to challenge you to examine your life like we will actually do in keeping the Lord's Supper at the end of our message this morning. And you know, it's a time to reflect. It's a time to really judge where you're at with your walk with the Lord. Where do you need to grow? Right? That's why I kind of been talking about this a few weeks ago. Getting you thinking about it. Getting you praying about it now. Where does God want you to go? You have a vision. As we go back to Acts chapter 16, we'll pause for a quick word of prayer and start looking at what we need to see here and give you a little bit more detail of what I'm talking about and being able to have a vision to grow, a vision from God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Again, I thank you and praise you for everything that you have taught us and shown us in 2019. Now, I know that it's not 2020 until next week. We still got a couple of days left. But, Father, we thank you for everything that you've shown us in going through the book of Job and finishing that up last week. Understanding that you're the God, that you're the God of all comfort, and that you give us comfort in a conflict. In the things that we go through as we serve you on this planet, in this world, we're going to go through suffering, but you're able to comfort us and to be able to take that comfort and turn around and share it with somebody else. And Lord, we may still even have opportunity later today or Monday or Tuesday to be able to continue in that vision. And then we know it's something that doesn't stop when Wednesday morning takes place at 12 midnight, that we're done with the vision that you've given us for 2019. That's something should always be, that we should always be looking for your comfort and being able to share that comfort with others. But Lord, I do want you to help us to focus in on the direction that you have for us for 2020. 2020 vision, seen clearly. Lord, it's the year for this. It's a time in our church, in the life of our church for this, to have a vision to grow. Not just collectively as Faith Bible Church, but individually. Give us a vision to be able to grow. That when we come to the end of 2020, that we can look back, each and every one of us, to be able to look back and say, yes, I have grown in my walk with the Lord. I haven't been complacent. I haven't been stagnant. I haven't been backsliding. I've been growing, moving forward, because I've chosen to keep your word. To follow the direction and the vision that you've given me from your word. Let that be everyone's testimony by the end of 2020 if you have not come back for us. Father, help us to understand what we need to see in Acts 16. Help us to understand the things that we need to see as we talk about this vision to grow. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You look at Acts chapter 16, and I'll give you a little bit of the context of what we're talking about. It's like, you know, we start our scripture reading starting in verse 6 and not verse 1, but I just want to get quick into the point. We're talking about Paul and his, what they call his second missionary journey. The second time he's going out. The first time it was with Barnabas, and so this time around, we understand from the end of chapter 15 that Barnabas and Paul had a disagreement about taking John Mark. Barnabas wanted to take John Mark. Paul didn't, because he left them in the work on their first time in their first missionary journey. So it ends up that Paul takes Silas as well, and he finds Timothy, and they go in about to, again, continue on for sharing the gospel. But we see, as we pick it up in verse 6, that they run into problems, that the Holy Spirit says, no, I don't want you to go here, because you know what? God had a bigger plan in mind, had a bigger vision for the gospel, and this is the first time, as we'll see in this passage, that the gospel is actually going to Europe for the first time. I mean, God wanted to branch out, to spread out, to grow, in a sense, as far as the gospel is concerned. So let's pick it back up in verse 6, and we'll see in our first point, forbidden of God. All right, in verses 6 through 8, it says this, again, Acts chapter 16, verse 6. It says, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Now, get that in mind. Get that in mind. Because it almost, in one sense, doesn't make any sense. Why would the Spirit of God, why would God forbid Paul and his ministry team to preach the gospel in this location? Why? I mean, doesn't God want the Word of God to get out? Doesn't He want people to know that Jesus Christ, what He's done and died and buried and rose again, and that He's got a plan for their life? You think, did God have something against the Galatians? I'm going to tell you something. Honestly, that is not the case. Because what book do we have in the Bible? We have a book of Galatians. I mean, honestly, God had Paul deal with Galatians at a point in time, but not at this time. All right? That's important to understand. All right? Again, I'll read that, and we'll move on a little bit, and then we'll give a cross-reference to it. But again, from verse 7, it goes on. It says, and after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered or allowed them not. It almost doesn't make sense. All right, God is shutting the door. That is not where He wants them to go. You see, God has a plan. He does. And sometimes this plan involves closing doors and saying, that's not where I want you to go. I'm forbidding you to go there. And it's a good thing that obviously Paul, Silas, and Timothy wanted to do. They were wanting to preach the gospel. They weren't wanting to go and sin. God said, nope. Spirit of God says, nope, I'm not leading you there. You see, God does everything. He's a God of structure. He does everything decently and in order. If you just look in the Word of God real quick, I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we're going to look at the last verse of this chapter. The context is actually dealing with Paul dealing with the Corinthians and talking about whether as far as dealing with speaking in tongues, and we're talking about known languages. We're not talking about some of the charismatic mumbo-jumbo that goes on in today, and they call it biblical. It's not. We're talking about known languages. But Paul is dealing with and setting things in order as far as the Corinthians, as far as dealing with speaking in tongues. And actually, the gift that you should want to do is actually to edify. That's really the subject matter or the theme of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, is dealing with being able to edify one another. But he says this at the end of this chapter, which is something that is a truth that applies to God in everything that we're talking about. It simply says this, 1 Corinthians 14 verse 40, let all things be done decently and in order. God is a God of order. He's a God of structure. We see that in His creation, the way everything that He lays everything out. He's a God of order and structure, and really, obviously, He wants that for our lives, too. Let all things be done decently and in order. So, I mean, God had in mind to have the Word of God go to the area of Galatia and some of these other areas that are mentioned there, but not at this time when we're talking about Paul and Silas and Timothy on the second missionary journey. I want to give you one more reference before we go back to our text today. I want you to actually go over to Galatians chapter 5. You guys are familiar with this, but I want to mention it anyway. Galatians chapter 5, down in verse 16. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16 says this, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And this is exactly what Paul is doing. He's listening to the Spirit of God. He, again, this is the thing. He's wanting to do a good thing. Alright? There's nothing wrong, obviously, with preaching the Word of God, the Gospel. Alright? There's nothing wrong with that. But if you're doing that in a place where the Spirit of God is saying, I don't want you to be there, then guess what you're doing? If you do it anyway, you're doing something in the flesh. And if anything in the flesh going to be profitable in God's mind? No. Timing is everything. God's timing. Alright? And so when we talk about getting a vision from God and what He wants you to do and growing in 2020, I don't want you just to arbitrarily think, well, you know what? Let me just focus on this, or let me just pick this. I mean, sure, it could be good and all that, but I really am challenge you to get with God, get in the Word of God, let the Spirit of God direct you as you spend time in the Word and as you spend time praying, and allow God to show you exactly what He wants you to work on in 2020. It doesn't mean that from January 1st to December 31st, as far as 2020 is concerned, that you got to go from being who you are now to like the greatest Christian on this planet. That you have everything down. That you have no problems. That's not what I'm talking about. But getting with God and say, God, what is something that you want me to work on? What is an area you want me to work on? Maybe it's being consistent, being in the Word of God. Maybe it's, I want to do discipleship, we have a discipleship ministry. Whatever the case is, I don't know. But God does. And that's what I'm urging you to do. Spend time with God in His Word and let Him direct you as far as this is where you need to go. Just like He did with Paul. You go back to Acts chapter 16, let's pick it up. In verse 9. It says, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and praying him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Paul is looking to go to Galatia. The Spirit of God says, no. He's over there to Bithynia. Nope, I don't want you to go there. He goes down to Troas, and then in the night, God gives him a vision. I want you to go to Macedonia. All right? This is where I want you to go. All right? He gives him a vision in the night. I like that, by the way. It's interesting. It's like he gives Paul a vision in the night. And the night in the Bible can be really a picture of going through some tough times. Sometimes when we really, meet with God and understand direction, a lot of times it's a tough time. It's in the night. Times you're going through struggles. It's like, there's a time we have, man, Lord, you got to give me some direction. And it's interesting that He gives them a vision in the night. All right? I want to take you to the first place you see that word vision appear in Scripture. Why don't you go back to Genesis chapter 15? Now, for those of you around at the time, remember, this a few years ago, we studied through the life of Abraham. At this time, he's called Abram. The context is he just finished a battle and rescuing his nephew, Lot, as he often did. And so he wins the battle and everything like that. And then, chapter 15, the Lord shows up in a vision. First time you see the word used. Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. It says this: "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." So the word comes to him in a vision. Don't miss that connection. The vision goes back to the word of God. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. You can't escape. A biblical vision is going to come from the word of God. And so this vision appears. The Lord shows up to Abraham, his word. And again, and it says this in verse 2. And it says, "And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars." That means that Abram is getting this vision. When? In the night. He's struggling because why? He wants to have an heir. He wants to have a son. And the only thing that he can point to is a servant that was born in his house. He's going through some struggle. And the Lord gives him a vision in the night. He says, you know, shows him the stars and says, "If thou be able to number them," and he said unto him, "So shall thy seed be." And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. A lot in that passage, and again, we studied it, and guess what? Those messages are, you can get access to them on our website as far as online. But anyhow, for the purposes of the day, you see that the first time that vision appears in the Bible, it's God giving Abram a vision that his seed is going to be as the stars of heaven. He gives him a vision in the night. And Abraham believed God at his word. God gave him a vision. I'm trusting that God will give you, each individual, a vision in 2020. A vision to grow. You think about it, the first time that vision appears in the Bible, and what's it talking about? Abraham having a seed. And that his seed is going to be the stars of heaven. And today we have the nation of Israel. That started from Genesis 15, dealing with Abraham and a promise, a vision that God gave him to grow Abraham's seed. It was a vision to grow. First time it appears in the Bible is dealing with growth. The Lord wants you to grow in 2020, folks. He wants to give you a vision from His Word to see you grow. Let's go back to Acts chapter 16. We need to continue on. Again, from verse 9, it says this: "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man in Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, Come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." Immediately. Immediately. What do? God gives us a vision from His Word. This is what He wants us to do. How do we respond? I'll get around to it. I'll see. You know what? The things I get around to, like, you know what? Probably need to back in the house. Yeah, I'll get around to it. Now, in our household, we can probably stand to vacuum our carpet every day because we have a dog. Not just one dog, now we have two dogs. We've got Shadow, and now we've got Maximus. Cute little thing. But he's a hairy little, cute little thing. So we're going to have twice as much hair. Actually, three times, because my wife's hair gets all over the place. My hair, I barely have it. So it's not my hair that needs to be vacuumed up. It's Shadow, Trish, and now Maximus. And when my son comes by with his afro, it's Andrew. Need to vacuum. I vacuumed this week. I did vacuum. But it's one of those things, yeah, I'll get around to it. It's not necessarily high on my priority list, but if God shows me something, I need to immediately deal with it. And I'll tell you this. I already believe that God has given me the vision for 2021 this morning, going to church, when I was in the middle of a question and answer Bible study, saying I need to write something down. That's what I was writing down because I didn't want to forget it. Oh, God, I'll get to it. How many times have you been reading in the Word of God, God gives you something, and you don't immediately write it down the next day, and you're like, man, what did He show me? There's some things you can put off. But when it comes to God showing you something and giving you a vision, immediately, Paul and Silas are like, oh, well, we'll get around to it. Let me check my travel agent and see if I can get a ticket to go over to Macedonia. They immediately endeavored, believing that God has given them the vision and direction to go to Macedonia. Immediately. I want to show you another time that word immediately is used. So I want you to go to the Gospel of Mark. Go back to Gospel of Mark chapter 10. Gospel of Mark chapter 10. And look down at the last couple of verses of this chapter. As you make your way there, I'll give you the context. We're going to be looking at verses 51 and 52. Mark chapter 10. This is a story dealing with blind Bartimaeus. He's sitting on the road by the wayside. And he hears that Jesus is coming by. He's shouting out. He wants to have an audience with Jesus. He wants to speak with him. And he's like, oh, just be quiet. Just, you know, no. And then the Lord calls him up and asks him, hey, what do you want? So Mark chapter 10, verse 51 and 52. I want you to notice this. It says this. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. He wants to see. He wants to have vision. Verse 52. Note this. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now notice what Jesus says. He's healing him. He's healing blind Bartimaeus. Now, Bartimaeus is going to be able to see. He's going to have vision. But notice that the Lord says, go thy way. Every word of God is important. Notice, I mean, Bartimaeus legitimately said, all right, He healed me. I can go my way. That's what Jesus told me to do, to go my way. Notice what Bartimaeus says, though. Verse 52. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight, and what did he do? And followed Jesus in the way. He didn't go his way. Jesus said, hey, your faith has healed you. Go your way. Go thy way. Blind Bartimaeus is now seeing. He's got a vision. And immediately, what does he do? He followed Jesus immediately in the way. Follow Jesus. He doesn't do his own thing. He can legitimately say, hey, Jesus said, go thy way. I'm going to go do what I'm going to do. He gives him vision. And he immediately follows Jesus in only one way, the way. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes unto me, unto the Father, but by me. Instructional. How many Christians who are all spiritually blind, we accept Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior, we get saved, we have sight, we have vision. But how many of us continue to follow Jesus in the way, immediately follow Jesus in the way, and how many of us as Christians go our own way? Literally, thank you, Lord, for salvation. Thank you for my fire insurance. I know that I die. I'm not going to go to hell. I'm going to be in heaven with you. But I'm going to continue to be Lord of my life and all these other things. Bartimaeus, what did he do? Immediately followed Jesus in a way. What did Paul do when he got the vision? He immediately endeavored to go into Macedonia.
God gives you a vision for 2020. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to immediately follow? Or continue to go your own way? I'll get around to it. I'll get around to it. You go back to Acts chapter 16. Pick it up in verse 11. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. I want you to back up to verse 11 and notice what it says there. Two words. Straight course. Straight course. Now, last Sunday, guys, remember, we left as soon as we could because we're picking up Trisha's Christmas gift in Versailles, Missouri, if I'm pronouncing that right. 3 hours away. Got to pick up Maximus. All right? Pretty dry. Nice drive. But Trish was being the navigator because there were all kinds of turns. It wasn't a straight course. Now, he had to do this, go that, this way, that, and the other, and so forth and so on. And we got there, no problems, didn't get lost or anything like that. Beautiful drive, nice Sunday drive to do that. But it was not a straight course. It's like, oh, got to turn left. Okay, got to turn left. I'm like, we're doing a lot of left turns. When am I going to turn right? Because I know we got to go that direction sometime. And we're in a straight course. All right? You know, and there's times, you know, you're driving around and, you know, you got time on your hands and you kind of meander, let's see the countryside and things like that and all this other stuff. Kurt's good for that. I mean, he knows several different ways to get to one place, I swear, you know, and no matter where you go with Kurt, if you ever travel with Kurt, he will run into somebody he knows. I swear. If he was an astronaut and he went to Mars, somebody on Mars would know him. I mean, I don't know how many times I've been out with him. Oklahoma. The monster truck rock. Somebody one year came up. Hey, how you doing, Kurt? I'm like, really? Where am I in Oklahoma? I mean, there's times that you meander around. But there's times, straight course. I hate to be a little crude or gross. Maybe, I don't know. Have you ever had to go to the bathroom really bad? And you're on the road? You're getting as soon as you can to get home. Alright? Because you gotta go. You gotta go. Alright? That sort of thing. What about God? God lays out for you a vision, a direction that He wants you to go. He lays it out clearly in His Word. Are we gonna immediately follow? And are we gonna make a straight course to do it? I want you to notice something. I want you to go over to Proverbs. Go back to Proverbs chapter 4 real quick in verse 25. Proverbs chapter 4. In verse 25, to the end of this chapter, verse 27. Proverbs chapter 4. This is a great book. It's a book that I'm now studying. It's going to be my book that I'm going to be studying, one of them for 2020. This is the vision, the book that the Lord's given me, my vision and direction. I'll share that at a later time, not sharing that today. But this is a great book. And again, you have Solomon as a writer of it, and he's laying out, giving instructions to his son about what he needs to do. And he says this, Proverbs chapter 4, down in verse 25, it says this, "Let thine eyes look right on, and let thy eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." Same thing. Straight course. Ponder the path of thy feet. Where are you walking? Where are you going? And that's really what I'm challenging you today for. Where does God want you to go? Where are you going right now? Are you on the path and the direction that God has given you? Are you following the vision that God has given you? It's like, I don't know what God wants me to do. Well, are you making a straight course to immediately get into the Word of God and be praying? It's like, well, I don't even know where to read. I guarantee you. If your heart is to find out what God wants you to do and get a vision and a direction from Him and you're praying about it, pick a place. I don't care. Pick a place and start reading. And trust that God is going to direct you. Folks, listen, there are times when a preaching opportunity comes to me and it's, you know, kind of out of the blue or whatever the case is. And so I'm like, okay, somebody wants me to preach. So said, David, a couple of years ago, said, hey, I want you to preach at the charge. And it's like, I'm sorry for the short notice, but I need to, and it's literally like a week, it literally, no joke, it was a week before the charge. It's like, Charles, I want you to preach. I'm like, okay, I'll preach. I get off the phone with him. Lord, okay, I have no idea what I'm going to preach. You're going to have to give me something. And I'm praying about it. And there are times when the Lord will immediately say, this is where you need to be. The book, chapter, and verse, here's the outline, boom, everything, right then. Then there's times like, I'm not sure. You know what I do? Start picking up the Bible, start reading. Start looking at something. Something pops in my head. It's like, well, maybe read over there. Start reading, no, that's not it. And so, well, maybe this verse gets me over to somewhere else. What I'm saying, folks, it may be that you're sitting here right now, it's like, I already know what the Lord wants me to focus on for 2020. And you may be sitting here and it's like, I have no clue. You're not going to get a clue if you don't open the book. You're not going to get a clue if you're not open the book and praying about it. Open the book and start reading. I don't care. You've got 66 places you can start looking. Start reading and praying. I guarantee you that the Lord is more interested in you having His vision than what you are. You've got to open the book. You've got to pray. All right? You got to do that. And ponder the path of your feet. Where am I going? And God gives you that vision, gives you that direction. Immediately make a straight course and start following it. How am I going to do that? Okay, how do I go about it? Okay, you're talking about being in the Word of God. You're talking about praying. You know, the Lord's going to show me from His Word. Again, where there is no vision, the people perish, but He that keepeth the law, happy is He. So the key is being in the Word of God. Okay, I've been reading, and you know what? I think I believe, I know where the Lord would have me. I know where I think the vision He had me to concentrate on, that sort of thing. And let's say, for instance, it's like, okay, I think the Lord wants me to really be consistent in reading every day. Reading in the Bible, reading something in the Bible every day. And the reason why is because I see over here in 1 Timothy chapter 4 that I'm supposed to give myself to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. All right? So I'm supposed to give myself to reading. I want to read. That's my vision verse. I want to read the Word of God more. So how do I actually go about accomplishing that? How am I actually going to do it? I'm going to tell you this. Get to the next part. Just like Paul immediately made a straight course. If he made a straight course, that means he had a plan of where he was going to go. And we see that in Scripture. They went to this place, and then they finally were in Macedonia. And then they finally ended up in Philippi, all right? That's in the region and the area of Macedonia. Obviously, they had a travel plan, all right, that they had now. Well, God gives you a vision, gives you a direction what you need to do. I'm going to tell you what you need to do. You need to write it down. Write it down. Remember I talked about sometimes the Lord shows you something and you say, oh, I'll write it down later, and then all of a sudden you forget what He's showing you? Write it down. Okay, I'm going to challenge you a little bit. I want you to go to the book of Habakkuk. We're in Proverbs. You keep traveling to the right, you get into the major prophets. Book of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. After the book of Daniel, you have Hosea. So we're getting into the minor prophets. So you have Hosea, then you got Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, then Micah. Then you're going to have Nahum. And then after Nahum, you have Habakkuk. Give you some time to get there. I'll give you the context of Habakkuk. We're going to look in chapter 2 in the first three verses. Habakkuk, a prophet, he is upset at God. Chapter 1, he is upset. You know why he's upset at God? Because how could God use a nation that is less righteous than Israel, Babylon, to come take Israel away into captivity? And chapter 1, he's letting God have it. He is upset with God. And so when we get to chapter 2, Habakkuk fully expects that the Lord's going to show up and reprove him for how he and what he said in chapter 1. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1 says this, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. He fully expected God to reprove him for how he acted, or the things that he said when he was talking to God in chapter 1. The Lord shows up, and this is what he says, verse 2. Habakkuk 2, verse 2. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Now there's a couple of things I want to talk to you about this out of this passage. First of all, from verse 2, write the vision. Write it down.
so that he that readeth can run with it. That's why in every usual business, they have a mission statement. They have a vision. They have something that is their core values. Even at the casino, they have core values. Actually, I was actually challenging a couple of the workers there. It's like, can you tell me what the core values are? You know, I'm really not even thinking about this message in mind. Just kind of, you know, let them see what they remember, that sort of thing. But it's written down. You go down the hallways in the back of a house, it's there. It's written down. It's in their literature that they get, their employee handbook. It's there. You know, and most companies and corporations have that. They have a vision. They have a mission statement that's written down, and they got core values to add up and how they're going to accomplish that. That's what needs to happen. This is what comes from the Word of God. Write it down. If you have a vision that God wants you to grow more by reading His Word more, let's say you want to read the whole Bible. Let's say that is something I really believe I can grow in my walk and relationship if I read through this tape. I've never done it before, maybe. I want to take this year and actually read the whole Bible. Okay? Write it down. Here's my vision verse. Give myself to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. 1 Timothy chapter 4. All right, I can't remember the specific verse that it is. It might be like verse 12, if I remember correctly. But anyhow, that's your vision verse. You got it written down. Well, how am I going to accomplish that? There's 52 weeks in a year. 365. Actually, this year, it's a leap year, isn't it? Isn't it? I think it is. You got an extra day. You got an extra day to read your Bible. 366. All right? And you say, well, what's a realistic pace that I can read through? I tell you this, if you read in the Old Testament, 4 chapters a day, and then when you get to the New Testament and read 2 chapters a day, you'll easily get through the whole Word of God in a year with time to spare. All right? I've done that on a couple of different occasions. All right. Now, if you want to ask for my advanced advice, hey Charles, how can you read through the Bible in 2 months? I've done that. Charles, I can read it most of everything is like 29 days. I don't think I had a job then. All right, I just read. All right, I know. I mean, but realistically, but write it down. Whatever it is. All right. I mean, it's like I just want to read through the Old Testament. I never read through the Old Testament. Maybe I want to read through the New Testament. Whatever it is, write the plan down so that you're able to run with it. That you refer back to it so you can actually tick off and say, hey, I did this, I accomplished this, I accomplished like a do list, that sort of thing. Write it down. And that's what God tells Habakkuk. I want you to write the vision. That he that runs, that read it, can run with it. They can accomplish the vision and direction that I'm giving you, Habakkuk. You run with it. Do something with it. You see, you're not going to accomplish anything if God gives you the vision, you do that much, and you just kind of, you know, maybe even write it down. But if you don't start running with it, you're going to start doing what you say? Well, like we saw with Bartimaeus, immediately follow the Lord in thy way. Like the Apostle Paul, when they got the vision, they immediately set a course to go there. If you don't do that, guess what? It's not going to get accomplished. It's not going to get accomplished. I want to read through the Word of God. I want to get a nice new Bible. I'm going to read through the Word of God. You go to the store, you get your Bible and everything like that, and you never open it up. Great, you have a vision to read through the Word of God. Got a nice new pretty Bible to do it. But if you never open it up. If you never start running with it, is it going to get accomplished? Are you going to get anything read? No. Write it down so you can run with it. I want you to go over to Hebrews real quick, back to the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. This is after chapter 11. It's like, oh, that's awesome, Charles. I didn't realize that before that 12 comes after 11. No, but what I mean by that, in chapter 11 of Hebrews, it's called that Hall of Faith. And where, again, Paul is going through and laying out all these Old Testament people that, again, they by faith they did this, by faith they did that, and it's laying out a number of different things. That's the context that we have. And then in chapter 12, it says this in verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking, vision, unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He started it, wants to complete it, which means what? There's a growth process. All right? It doesn't stop with him just being the author of your faith. He wants to finish it. And it's a race. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down
at the right hand of the throne of God. See, he's not asking us to do something that he hadn't been through himself. And we'll never have to go through what he went through. And how he was able to get through the hard times was looking up and looking on to what was set before him. That there was a day coming, he'll be at the throne of God, sitting down at the throne of God. That's how he got through all the hard times, the cross. Dying for our sins, suffering our hell for us. Because he knew what the outcome was going to be. He had vision, had direction. And it's the same thing that we need to have. We need to lay aside the weight and the sin that's thus easily beset. And it does. And run with patience the race. Looking unto Jesus. That vision. You write it down so you don't forget it. Know what it is. Make a concrete step. Alright? If my vision, my direction to grow is to read through the Word of God, then this is what I'm going to do. And it may be like, you know what? I have more time on Monday, so maybe I'll read 3 chapters on Monday. Tuesday, I got to get up early. I got to go to work, whatever it is. So, and realistically, maybe I'll read 1 chapter. Or maybe I'll read 1 chapter in the morning, 1 chapter in the evening. I don't know what it is. But have a plan and write it down so that you know if your plan is to read through the Bible in a year, that you know what you're going to cover each and every day. Write it down. Mark it off. Isn't it always good when you have a to-do list and you can mark things off? You know, a lot of us, you know what we do? We put things on a to-do list we already got done because we just like the joy of marking it off. Write the vision down. Know what God wants you to do. Get to know it. It's one of the things I'm asking. It's like, I don't know what it is. I've mentioned, you know, maybe it is to read the Word of God or maybe to read something specific. Maybe it's like, no, I really want to study out the books of 1 and 2 Timothy. In your vision verse, again, I'm going to give myself the reading to exhortation to doctrine. Maybe that's what you read. I don't care. It's not about what Charles Boyce wants you to do. It's about what God is doing in your heart. Write it down. Have a concrete plan. Maybe that's the book you study. I'm going to read 1 and 2 Timothy. I'm going to read it a gazillion times. I'm going to read it 10 times. I'm going to read it 5. I don't know. I don't know. But have a plan to write it down and be able to see how you're going to accomplish it. You know what? If I would rather you say, I'm going to read through 2 Thessalonians. Trish, Andy, and I did that while Andy was down. I mean, we read it in one setting. I mean, we each read a chapter and we each gave a devotion out of what we learned or what we picked up in that chapter right then and there. And it was a good time. It was a good time because it's been a while since we were able to all three sit down and do something like that. Maybe just pick a book of 2 Thessalonians. That's the only book I'm going to study this year. For 2020, I'm just going to look at the book of 2 Thessalonians. Okay, that's fine. Write it down. What are you going to do with it, though? How many verses are you going to cover? How are you going to study it out? Or whatever, you know. If I run into a problem, I have a question, you know, I need to talk to Charles about this or talk to somebody else about it, whatever, you know, to be able to, I mean, have a plan. Write it down. Write it down. I want to finish up, and then I'll get a little bit more specific in some things that we're going to cover this next year. If you remember back to Habakkuk, in that third verse, the Lord is telling Habakkuk, hey, there's an appointed time for this vision. Wait for it. Though it tarries, still wait for it. All right? It's not going to be a lying vision. It's the truth. It's going to come to pass. It's going to happen. There's an appointed time. Whatever the vision is, it may be a vision that won't get completely accomplished in 2020. It may bleed into 2021. It may bleed into, who knows, 2022 for all I know. Who knows? The issue is following what the Lord has given you to do. Every year, I not only come up with a vision and have seek God for a vision as far as the church is concerned, I seek the Lord, what's the vision for me? 2 years ago, I had a vision. God, I believe, laid on my heart. And looking at God's provision for my family. My vision was God's provision for my family. I wanted to get back to working, you know, because I wasn't doing my karate stuff full time since I moved down here. You know, I wanted to help the family out. I wanted to do more than what I was making. That was the vision that God gave me. And I prayed. I prayed hard. Studied the Word of God hard about God providing for us. And that came to pass. But it took a little bit more than a year to do that. And it's like God has blessed my family. He has blessed me. He's given me an incredible job. And a job that not only provides physically for my family, but it's a job that on a weekly basis, I'm sharing something of the Word of God. This last, I don't have time to talk about the last 2 or 3 days just being at work and being able to witness and be able to talk to people. It happens all the time. All the time.
That's not, and it's because what God provided. The key is getting the vision from God. Being real with Him. Looking at yourself. Hey, Lord, this is what You've laid on my heart. This is what I see in the promise of Your Word. I'm going to write it down. I'm going to meditate. I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to study the Word of God out about it. And I'm going to trust You every day. I'm going to immediately follow You in the way. Remember, where there is no vision, people perish. If you have no vision and direction to grow, I guarantee you, we'll be sitting here at the end of 2020 and your life and your walk with Christ has not changed one. I won't say that. It will have changed. You go backwards. I want you to go back to Acts 16 one more time. Acts 16, and again, I want to read verse 12 one more time to finish up. In verse 12, it says, "And from thence, they followed a straight course from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city." It was a principal city. It's a good, sometimes I have this far, you know, talk about missions work. Where's a key place to be able to start a work and to start a church? You pick a key city that is maybe a hub to other places, that sort of thing, to be able to branch out from. And then you see that's the pattern really that's followed here. But it says, "And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony. And we were in the city abiding certain days." Now, if you read the rest of the chapter, it's absolutely amazing to see how God starts fulfilling that vision. I mean, we don't have time to get in. That's not my purpose today and dealing with this, but it is obviously good to read through and to be able to study through. But the reason why I wanted to come back to verse 12 is because Philippi is a chief city, and that will be the book that we'll be preaching through starting next Sunday, the book of Philippians. All right, we'll take the year to study through the book of Philippians. It should be a good time. For the most part, we'll be looking at a couple of verses a week and that sort of thing. It'll be neat. It'll be good. It's been a while since I've been through that book. Actually, we did this as a Bible study when we started, as a Bible study before we became a church. It was in the book of Philippians. And so it's been 7 years ago that we have been in this book. And so, but now I'm actually preaching. We'll be preaching through it, and I'm looking forward to it with it. And it'll be easier to preach through than Job, because we won't be dealing with chapters at a time. We'll be dealing with a few verses each week. And so really be able to draw a lot out of it. But that's what we're going to be going through, is the book of Philippians. And as we go through that, we're going to be looking at different aspects of growth, you know, and a vision. We'll talk about being a vision of a servant in chapter 1. We'll talk about being a vision to lead. We'll talk about a vision of accountability. I mean, each chapter will be a certain focus as far as a vision. We'll have as we come through it. And then we'll talk more about it as we get started next week. But that's what we're going to go through. I'm going to challenge you each and every week to be able to be a great book to challenge you where you're at in your walk with the Lord, to be able to grow through that. And we talk about being accountable, holding you accountable. All right? I can't make you do anything. I can't. You can decide, "Oh, it sounds great, Charles, but I got something else I want to do. Oh, I'm content and fine with where I'm at." That's your choice. But as a pastor, I'm trying to do everything I can, because I know the benefits of a daily walk with the Lord, with His Word. Having an understanding, having a goal, having a vision in mind that God has given you to be able to follow, and what that can do for you. And what they can do for you in the lives of people around you. Christianity is not just sitting in a church and listening to some message and go home and life is no different. The body of Christ, the local church, is meant to edify, to build up, to be able to glorify God. We should always be wanting to grow in that. So many parallels we could talk about in relationship to this. How I'm going to help you keep accountable. What we're going to do every second and fourth Sunday, but we'll be doing this at our question and answer Bible study. I'm going to challenge you, take a few minutes before we get into our question and answer Bible study,
to stand up, or you can sit where you don't have to stand up, you know, but you can sit where you're at, but to be able to communicate what's God showing you in your vision this year. We'll do that every second and fourth Sunday during our question and answer Bible study. And we'll start out with it being me. All right? I will go first. You know, and then probably have my wife go second. And we'll have Kurt, we'll have Pam. So for the first 2 months, you're not even on the hook. Give me an example we're talking about. It doesn't have to be 3 points and a point. It's to be a matter of, this is a vision, the direction that God has given me for 2020. This is a verse where that comes from. And here's how I'm going to start accomplishing it, or this is how the Lord is starting working in my life with this. Hey, praise God. Sit down. A way to keep accountable. Wednesdays. Continue to stress Wednesdays. Alright? Beyond just sitting and listening to a message, you know, on Sunday morning. Alright? But to be able to start diving in to do a little bit more. Alright? Maybe that could be something that could be part of your vision. Hey, you know, let me commit to maybe come to Wednesday. You know, maybe you can't do every Wednesday, but make it one. I am not a taskmaster. But what I am trying to do is stretch you a little bit. Because I know the benefit it will have. You know, and we'll have prayer time. One of the things we're going to do is like our women's, Trish, and I gave the ladies on Mother's Day a particular book about dealing with prayer, fervent prayer. And so they're going to start going through that. And that's going to be something that will usually do our prayer time on the first Wednesday of the month. But we're going to kind of change that every so often because of Trish's work schedule. Sometimes she works Wednesdays. And so actually the first Wednesday that we get together, we won't do that. We'll do just a regular devotion time, your own personal devotion in the Word of God. But that's something we will do. And that's when the women will get together for that. Us guys will get together and we'll talk about specific parish prayers. Something else I want to mention for the men that we're going to start this year is, and I got this from Arnold, because we've done this a couple of times now, is to do, and it's actually a suggestion from him, is to do a men's breakfast. You know, we go to Farmhouse Cafe. And so, again, it doesn't mean they have to go every time or whatever, but that's something we do like at 7:30, and we're looking at doing that every second Saturday of the month. Again, and if you guys are like, well, I'm not having it, don't want to do it, then that's fine. No problem. But that's something I want to offer. Us guys can get together and do what guys do best, eat, and you know, pray and talk to one another, see what things we're going to be praying about, maybe share a little quick devotion, that sort of thing. And again, just to foster that more of things that how can we grow? How can we help each other grow in our walk with the Lord? Now, again, I mentioned that, and my wife was like, well, can the ladies do that? Sure, the ladies can do that too if you want. I don't care. You know, but we will be eating separately from the women, all right? That sort of thing. I'm just going to say that right now, all right? Anyhow, that's something I want to do. Question and answer Bible study, something I'm going to do. Again, this is something that it was brought up, and I thought, you know, that would be good, that every first Sunday during our question and answer Bible study, instead of doing question and answer, I'll do an overview of the book of Revelation. You know, something Kurt mentioned that he's interested in, to really kind of understand that more, as well as Arnold and others. So it's like that's something we'll do. That'll start next Sunday. So instead of doing question and answer next Sunday, I'll spend some time in Revelation. I got it laid out and how we're going to go through. So by the time we're done with this year, you'll have a good overview of what the book of Revelation is all about, which will actually tie in some other books of the Bible as well, and talking about what happens during these last days, the tribulation period, the second coming of Christ, and all that. So I keep on saying that the book of Revelation is an easy book to understand. A lot of people are like, what? I thought that was a really hard book to understand. Well, we'll spend some time laying that out, and hopefully, you know, you'll see what I mean by that. With that, so those are some of the things that we're looking at doing this year to really help foster your growth in the Word of God. And like I said, I'll have more to say on things as far as Wednesdays and that, what we'll be doing there. But for the most part, it'll follow the same format that we've been doing in the past, but the focus will be on our personal vision and direction as far as the Word of God is concerned. And so that's what we're looking at in this year. And I hope, again, it's something that everybody buys into. It's kind of like the same thing I say with my karate students. You get out of a karate class what you put into it. You'll get out of it what you put into it. If you don't put in much effort, much work, or anything like that, you're not going to get much out of a karate class. It's going to take you longer to advance. I've seen students that have been in the same belt for a long time because they don't put anything into it. They come to class, but when they come to class, they're really not there. They're there because maybe mom and dad want them to be there, and they don't advance. But then you have students that's like, man, they eat up everything they want. They practice at home and everything like that, and you see them rise to the ranks.
church is no different. Your walk with Christ is no different. If all you put into it is like, I'm happy that the Lord is my Savior and I'm not dying, or when I die I don't go to hell, I go to heaven, and that's all you put into it, that's all you will have. And that's all you will have to show, that the judgment seat of Christ is the foundation of Christ, and you'll have nothing built on it. And you'll be missing out on a lot. But you decide, you know what? Let me take this to heart. Let me get with God. Let me spend some time in the Word. Lord, you direct me in the Word of God. You show me the areas I need to grow in. You give me some things that I need to do. And let me write that down so I can run with it, so I can know exactly how to be able to start accomplishing these things. So that by the time we come to the end of 2020, that I can look back and say, you know what? I have grown in these areas. That's going to be what you put into it. And I'm not going to make you feel guilty. I'm not going to do anything like that. I'm not. But my job as a pastor is to stretch you. And sometimes stretching, you know what? Hurts a little bit. I find out as I get older, I'm not as flexible as I used to be. You know? There's a time that I could kick Drake in the head. Not that I'm mad at Drake or anything. I'm just saying. I can get my foot up to his 6 whatever he is. But that's not easy to do that anymore. I'm getting older. And it hurts a little bit more. I got to stretch. I got to do more work with it. My job is to stretch you a little bit. If I don't, I'm not doing my job as a pastor. I'm not. And we're in this together because you know what? I got to stretch myself. All right? My vision is to be a better pastor. Like I said, I'll say more about it later, next, or in 2 Sundays or whatever. But my job is to be a better pastor. All right? It's easy for me to preach. Not easy like I know everything about the Word of God, but for me to preach is me getting alone with God, spending time in the Word of God and studying. The pastor means I need to avail myself to you guys. I need to know where you're at. How can I help you grow? I mean, that's not, I got to stretch myself. And it's not natural. You may think, it's like, I'm really a shy guy. I really am. All right? And I got to break out of that more. So we're in this together. All right? And so I don't want you to think that this is what, my God, this is what you got to do or get out. But I do want you to understand. You'll get out of this vision what you put into it. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I do thank you and praise you for your word. I thank you and praise you for all that you've shown us. And I trust that your Spirit has spoken to all of our hearts. I mean, we could talk about this another week and still not accomplish and comprehend everything there is about talking about getting a vision. But Lord, I pray that enough is said and understood that everyone can go home and start thinking and praying on this and trusting you to give you a vision, to give them a vision, to see areas that they need to grow in. And as we get ready to go into the Lord's Supper, a time that we talk about reflecting on what Christ has done for us until He comes and judging ourselves and seeing where we're at, I pray that literally what we've just been talking about and having a vision from you, that Lord, that you would speak to our hearts in that moment as well. Confirm for each and every one of us, like the direction, the vision that you have for us to go. Because of a truth, as it says in Proverbs 29, verse 18, where there is no vision, people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Lord, we want to be happy. We're not just talking about world happiness here. We're talking about a joy because we are following and doing what you have laid out in your word, specifically for our lives. Not just in a life of Faith Bible Church, but each individual that makes up this church, that you would give each and every one of us a vision that we will immediately follow in a straight course. Week after week, give us a clear understanding of these things, Lord. We're asking in Jesus' name. Amen.